Good morning. Thanks. I usually like to have a spider plot or two in my talks as well, but I managed to put this one together without any spider plots. So this morning I'm gonna share some results from on-farm research that focuses on the potential for interseeding cover crops in organic grain corn. And this is a part of a larger project, the Reduced Tillage Organic Systems Experiment at Penn State, which focuses on alternative strategies for reducing the frequency or intensity of tillage in a corn-soy-wheat rotation. So one of the strategies that we focused on over a number of years is this no-till bean system, in which we use the roller crimper to mechanically terminate a large cereal rye cover crop and then come in and no-till plant beans into the rye residue. And so our research over the years and research by a number of other groups have really demonstrated the viability of the system. We can achieve pretty decent yields and get pretty good within season weed control, but there's at least a few kind of system level constraints to adoption with this approach. And one of them is just this issue of having a limited fall growing season to establish the cereal rye cover crop. So probably in the southern half of the Mid-Atlantic, you can grow corn for grain and still come in and get rye established and make this system work. But probably somewhere in the southern half to central Pennsylvania, you really need to move to corn silage to allow time to get cereal rye established to be able to use the no-till system. Of course, this narrow growing season constraint is an issue in conventional no-till corn grain as well, and we're really challenged to establish cover crops in the system as far as a best management practice for preventing nutrient loading in the Chesapeake Bay watershed. So Pennsylvania or Penn State has really focused on this issue by improving relay cover cropping strategies with the use of the interseeder, which is a high-clearance no-till grain drill, which enables you to establish a cover crop in standing corn. And so research over a number of years has really worked out the best management practices for using the interseeder. We've kind of identified that interseeding at the V4 to V6 stage prevents yield drags, but also allows for consistent establishment of cover crops. We've identified the species that work in this system. So annual ryegrass at 22 kilograms per hectare performs well in this system. There's some legumes, red clover, crimson clover, as well as forage radish also work in these interseeded systems. And research has really also demonstrated the potential for doing this over kind of a latitudinal gradient. So this is a bubble plot figure that shows annual ryegrass biomass in late fall across a number, I think it's 14 different site years, Maryland, Pennsylvania, and New York. And you can see that there's variability from year to year and site to site. But we can generally consistently get cover crops established by using this interseeding method. And so in this organic systems experiment, we're thinking about interseeding as adding an additional tool in our reduced tillage toolbox. So we're continuing to follow this no-till soybean system and a corn silage rotation. But we've also added an additional system where we're growing corn for grain, coming in and interseeding, and then moving to a tilled soybean system. So we're doing that on station, and we've also started doing on-farm research trials to look at the potential for interseeding in organic grain systems. And so we have three on-farm locations in Pennsylvania, in addition to the on-station experiment. And really, the objective of this these experiments is just to evaluate the performance of alternative relay cropping strategies. So we're asking our cooperating growers to compare interseeding with a no-till drill in comparison to just broadcasting cover crops after last cultivation, and then comparing that to their standard practice between corn and beans. So are two more northerly locations in central Pennsylvania. Those growers typically can't establish a cover crop after corn and grain. The southern location in the southeast portion of the state, that particular grower typically has time to come in and drill cereal rye after corn and grain harvest. So we're comparing both the broadcast and the interseeding treatments. We're using the same cover crop mixture. We've designed kind of a nitrogen scavenging mix of annual ryegrass and orchard grass, both at 11 kilograms per hectare and forage radish at 3 kilograms per hectare. So these on-farm experiments are laid out. Treatments are imposed in a randomized complete block for replications. Depending on field size, plots are 4 to 8 rows and about 150 to 250 meters in length. And so we're replicating this in 2 years. The crop management at the different sites was a little bit different in 2015. So had some differences in the previous crop that we're coming into. Differences in the source of manure as well as seeding rates that were used, which will be kind of be an important part here as I talk about the results. All our growers got corn planted in about the third week of May, and we got in about a month later and did the interseeding treatments and the broadcasting treatments. And so we're coming in after last cultivation, so these growers are making about 2 to 3 inter-row cultivation passes and are really pushing it. So by the time we got into the field right after the last cultivation, we were really pushing V6 to V7 corn when we did the treatments. We took data at a couple different time points, 30 days after interseeding, to kind of evaluate the establishment of cover crops. We took corn populations. We came back in the fall just prior to grain harvest at each site and took cover crop biomass and some weed data, and then returned in the spring again to the plots and took cover crop biomass again. So the results are going to all be laid out by site, and they're kind of laid out. The New Holland site is that southeastern location, and the Mifflin and Hartleton sites are more central PA locations, and we're just comparing the interseeded treatment with the no-till grain drill, is abbreviated INT, with the broadcast treatment. So in 2015, we didn't see any differences in fall cover crop biomass just prior to grain harvest between interseeding and broadcasting treatments. We did see a difference in the magnitude of cover crop biomass across the sites, so we were getting about 200 kilograms per hectare of dry matter biomass at the New Holland and Mifflin site, and that's probably fairly comparable to what the levels of biomass we might see in early to late fall in the conventional trials that have been done. But we saw significantly greater biomass accumulation at the Hartleton site, so we were above 1,000 kilograms per hectare at that particular site. So we didn't see differences in total cover crop biomass, but we did see differences across the two different methods of establishment in the composition of the cover crop mix. So at the New Holland and Mifflin location, forage radish made up a greater proportion of the mix in the interseeded treatment in comparison to the broadcast treatment. And orchard grass made up a greater proportion of the mix in the broadcast treatment in comparison to the interseeded treatment. So we saw the same trend as well at the Hartleton site, but that site was really dominated. The mix was really dominated by forage radish. And we can probably attribute some of these differences between the treatments to seed size. So forage radish is the largest seeded species in the mix, benefits from being drilled. Orchard grass is the smallest seeded species and probably can find those crooks and crevices even in the broadcast treatment to get established. So coming back in spring, I forgot to mention at the beginning that the standard practices differed across the sites. Oh, I did mention that. So the New Holland sites, our grower came in double disc twice and then broadcast cereal rye. We had a really a nice fall growing season in 2015 and a pretty mild winter, so you got a good catch with the cereal rye. And so you can see that really the biomass potential of cereal rye is much greater in comparison to the interseeded mix that we're using. We didn't really see differences at the New Holland and Mifflin site in spring cover crop biomass in comparison between the interseeded and the broadcast mix. And really the lower levels of cover crop biomass in the spring at the Harleton site can be attributed to the fact that forage radish, which winter kills, was really dominating that mix. So we just didn't have the stand of the winter hardy grasses in the spring. And so we had pretty low levels of cover crop biomass in the spring at the Harleton site. So looking at corn grain yields at the New Holland and Mifflin site, we didn't see any differences between treatments. So each, the interseeder and broadcast treatment, were not different than the untreated check. However, at the Harleton site, we saw lower corn grain yields in both the cover cropping treatments in comparison to the untreated check. So this sends up all kinds of red flags, because one of the primary concerns of growers is the potential for yield drags when you're interseeding. And so I dove a little bit deeper into what was going on at the Harleton site. So we know we had this really high cover crop biomass in the fall. It was dominated by forage radish. But that particular site started with lower corn populations when it planted. Also had some additional issues related to cultivator blight, and so the final corn populations were lower at this site. And when you express cover crop biomass as a function of corn population across the three different locations, you can see this is the white circles are the Harleton locations. And so as corn populations kind of drop below about 55,000 plants per hectare, we start seeing this pretty good response in cover crop biomass. And so the question is these lower populations driving up cover crop biomass, which in turn are causing these yield drags? And just looked at kind of an additive regression plot expressing corn grain yields as a function of both corn population and cover crop biomass. And these are just the partial regression plots that are coming out of that. And you can see that you can see that once we account for the variation in corn population and the block variance, that we do see some marginal evidence, that figure in the lower right, some marginal evidence that indeed the cover crop biomass is resulting in some yield drags. But really a much tighter correlation with corn grain yield and corn population. So in summary, what did we learn in the first year? We really were thinking that we're going to see a benefit from interseeding with the grain drill in comparison to the broadcast treatments, and we didn't see that. It could be that in these systems where you have a lot of disturbance and you're going to broadcast right after last cultivation, that there's enough soil coverage that we can consistently establish cover crops. Or it could be that we're just in a really optimal year for establishing cover crops. That's the weather data for 2015. So June and July, we were really way above average in the amount of precipitation we were getting. Much drier this year, and so we're starting to see this fall, we saw some differences between interseeding and broadcasting treatments. As far as establishing, we know this, you know, the first year really demonstrated the fact that both the establishment method and corn populations really determine what the cover crop mixture expression is. And so there's definitely more work to be done on figuring out the more optimal mixes for different establishment methods. Talking with growers that participated and also at field days that we held, you know, one of the issues that is probably going to limit adoption is whether they just have enough time to get back into the field and make another pass after last cultivation before the corn gets too big. And so if we can come up with a method where we can do last cultivation and broadcast cover crops at the same time, that's potentially a more viable system. And they have varying interests, really, in the cover crop mixes and objectives for doing this. So one dairyman was really interested in turning the cows loose in late fall and allowing some grazing on those cover crops. So the objective is really going to determine what kind of mixture we're going to look at. And then finally, like I mentioned before, we're in the middle of our second year, and so we'll be able to, and we have two really different years as far as weather, so we'll be able to see some differences in treatments. And I really focused on kind of the performance of interseeding, but we're also taking additional data on farm and with a little more resolution on station with the differences in kind of ecosystem services related to the interseeding method. So I don't know if I have time for one question.